If you were fixing your bra straps, fussing with wires, or battling your bra during this podcast, stop right now. You'll want to hear this. Those bra problems, those problems you thought you had to live with, Third Love has solved them. Their bras make it easy to get what you want, whether it's ultimate cleavage, a smooth look, or stopping your shirt buttons from pulling. With over 60 sizes, including half cups you won't find anywhere else, you'll never be stuck between two sizes that don't fit. So stop settling for bad bras. Now's the time to treat yourself and get your problem solved. Save $15 on your first order with code PODCAST15 at thirdlove.com.
Dearest gentle listener, you are cordially invited to Go Touch Grass's first ever tea party brunch event, taking place Saturday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. at Prince Tea House in the East Village for an afternoon of sipping tea, spilling guts, and generally lamenting the state of the world. So, grab your besties, wear your florals, and snag your tickets to tea. Ticketing details available at patreon.com/gotouchgrass. Ta-ta!
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons more weekly content, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
Our latest Patreon is all about the discourse around live action Snow White, the online hate campaign against my half Latina Bob musical theater sister, yes. Rachel Zegler. We stand for her.
Yeah, no, I'm saying Elise talked at me for 2 hours
about how she got high
and went to see the movie Snow White.
And it was bad. But it's not her fault.
It's not her fault. It's not her fault.
Hear all that on the Patreon.
Hear it all on the Patreon. Hear me processing what they did to those dwarves. And this is the thing. If you want to be woke, if you don't want to be woke, just make a choice. Make a choice and stick with it. But you got to choose to leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Really good. Really good.
Thank you. We love your reviews and we need more of them. But really the best review you can do is to tell your friends, tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. We are always online.
We are always online in audio and video format because, as you know, we have made our pivot to video this year. Every week, you can get our audio episodes on Wednesdays and our video episodes on our YouTube on Saturdays. Millie is putting in the work. She's grinding on these video episodes. I don't know if grinding on the video episodes.
Yeah, I'm twerking on it. I'm twerking on the video's dick. I'm giving it a little boner.
And if you want to know what that means,
yeah,
go subscribe to the YouTube.
I will say we did get a Gen Alpha comment that said type-ish, and I had to Google it.
Yeah.
To see if it was good or bad.
Good or bad.
And it was good. It was good. Not this time. Other times we get bad YouTube comments.
I recently told you that I got a comment on TikTok that said TSPMO, and I had to Google it, and it was bad. It means this shit pisses me off. And I couldn't tell what I did to piss them off or why they didn't give any more information.
Well, I'm pissed that they didn't use the other letters in that thing, but no, you don't see me complaining.
Exactly.
And if you want to see us complaining live, you have two chances to do
you
that.
Do.
There are still tickets left for our tea party now happening at May 3rd at Prince Tea House in the East Village. Tickets are limited, so if you're planning to get them now on our Patreon.
Yep.
We got an exciting guest list that it includes Elisa's mom and allegedly my mom. So
yeah.
We'll see.
It's going to be a family affair at the tea party. So get excited, and also get excited because this Friday we will be at Y'all Fest. That's April 4th at 9:45 p.m. That's going to be just a straight up live podcast episode.
Yes.
We did it last year. We had so much fun, and you can get tickets at yesandlaughterlab.com/festival. And now,
yes,
with all of that out of the way,
all of that housekeeping,
the house is kept.
The house is
clean.
Kind of clean.
Limpia.
Yes. I love and proud of you for that one.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm flexing my Duolingo muscles.
We said we were going to get a Limpia from a Santeria person on Broadway, but
I do need to do that, but I don't know
you
how to get
a vetted one.
I know. That's the thing is I need a vetted Santeria recommendation. But anyway, maybe our guest can help me. Today in studio, we have such a special friend and guest. He's a stand-up. He's a writer who you may know from This Fool on Hulu, Jimmy Kimmel, The Tonight Show, and Stapleview. His special, Apology Comeback Special, is out now on YouTube. Please welcome into your ears, Martin Urbano.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Wow.
Great opening.
Thank you. Well done.
Pro level.
Thank you.
Housekeeping.
Thank you. Do you have any recommendations of a Santeria witch who can give me a Limpia?
I need more context. Okay. I don't understand. This is a song by Sublime, yes?
Santeria is a religion. But I was going to say, but you're Texas Mexican, uh-huh. right?
Yes.
I feel like, I don't know if Texas Mexican people are into the witchcraft shit.
No.
But
not
I feel
really.
Like California Mexican people, they are.
Sure.
And of course, Caribbean people, we love ourselves some good witchcraft.
You're absolutely right on that. And can you tell me more?
So you can pay
a witch.
You go to a Botanica, which is basically a witch store. And there's some incense and all this shit.
Okay, sure.
And they have them a bunch or whatever. And you can pay somebody to do a Limpia, a cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a bunch of egg.
They put a bunch of stuff.
You.
Yeah, they put
and it's a cleanse.
I think they dump a bunch of goo on you and then say some stuff, and it's a cleanse. And I'm genuinely quite interested in doing this.
Yeah. You've never done it, but you've seen it.
It's
on TikTok and stuff.
I've read about it in a book.
It's in the show Vita. The best portrayal of Olympia is, I would say, the show Vita with Melissa Barrera.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the whole point of Vita is that she's a very whitewashed Mexican person. And she's trying to connect with her Mexican East LA roots. And she gets a Limpia. And it's supposed to get all the gunk and nastiness out of her life and out of her environment. But then in the episode, she realizes that she's been sleeping with this married guy whose wife is pregnant. And she realizes that she's the gunk. And she's been Limpia. And she's the dirt. And she needs to cleanse herself from this environment and do better for herself and her community.
So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to have a witch dump goo on me and then have some realizations as a result.
You're the problem.
Yeah. I'm trying to have a witch tell me, actually, you are the gunk you need to get out of your own fucking life.
Yeah.
So anti-hero's about.
That's what anti-hero Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. I know that one.
I'm Mexican the problem.
Witch.
It's me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the gunk. It's
exactly.
me.
And she, but Crazy. Then sometimes they be tripping. Sometimes the Limpias, they're $50, $100. I went to Silver Lake to a witch store owned by an older Mexican guy. He was trying to do $250. I'm like, dog, you're te pasate. You're doing too much.
Well, if they're using eggshells, the price of eggs now.
Well, now you're
true.
Right. You're
that
right.
That is
inflation.
True. There is an inflation on the price of the Limpia.
The price of the Limpia is crazy. You're right. Okay, Martin.
Yes.
First up, how would you describe your stand-up persona?
I was writing the questions and I kept trying to describe it. And then I was like, this is not coming across correct, and I think I'm just going to insert a clip.
Anyway, guys, so I brought these Mad Libs because, I figure as a group, we can come up with a fun, silly bit together. You feel like you're more a part of the show. I feel like I had to write less material.
So let's go ahead.
And get some suggestions from the crowd. Now, fellas, try not to be too dirty. There are ladies present. How many ladies are here? By show of titties. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and get some suggestions. Can I get a plural noun? Just somebody over here shout out a plural noun.
Cars.
Cars, love it. Can I get an adjective from over here, an adjective? Purple, love it. And can I get a location you might find kids? Somebody over here again. Disneyland. All right. Let's see what we came up with here, gang. Ladies, gentlemen, and cars, in accordance with Section 2250 of Title 18 United States Code, I am legally obligated to tell you that I, Martin Urbano, am a registered sex offender. If you have any questions regarding my case or sentencing, please contact my purple parole officer. Anyway. Disneyland, you said?
Oh. It is that you're kind of like a pervert. And also, like, the first part of that question is, how do you describe it? And then given all that, how have you found people responding to your clips that you post online? Do people get that it's a bit? Are the people calling cops on you?
I think part of the problem is I don't even know how to describe it. And that makes it very tough to market, to sell to people. And with like that particular material, I don't really post too many clips from it because it requires so much context. Like, it makes more sense within the hour, barely. And outside of that, if I just pick something where I'm like, well, women are all like this or whatever, you know, it's like, it sounds, I don't know how it would come across. Although maybe I should try it, because then I stoke the flames, comment section pops off. And then,
I mean, you could not
like in it, this environment.
The wrong people might like it, and the right
they
people
come
might
to your
hate
show
me,
and realize that it's a joke, and then they're like,
yeah.
What we were saying off mic, and I think we've said it before, is like, some stand-up actually doesn't lend itself to be clipped. To walk us through, like, give us the spark notes of the hour so that we know why it can't be clipped.
It's called My Apology Comeback Special, and it's the premise is that, a loose premise also. It's like, for 10 minutes in, I just sit on a stool. I make them have a spotlight on me, and I say, I want to get real with you guys. It's a scary time to be a man. Mm-hmm. And if the audience laughs at that, then I'm good.
Yeah.
But if they don't, they're like, wait, what's happening? Or they're like, yeah. And I'm like, that's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sort of playing an idiot who's oblivious to the things he said.
But do you think everyone gets it when you're
like, when you do Kimmel or whatever, and the quote, the clips come out of that, is there a subsect of commenters, or do you not look at the comments, that are like, why is this sex offender on your show?
I mean, and that was interesting, because that was like a different that was like before I really dug my teeth into what I do now. Mm-hmm. Was when I did Kimmel, and that was, I kind of talk about it in the special, but when that came out, people were like, is he really a registered sex offender? It's like, wow, people really will not understand a joke. And then I would double down because I think that's funny.
Yes.
And then it became this whole thing. There's something I like read in the special. It's like somebody tweeted this at me, an interaction from their family group chat, which I thought was so funny. And it was like them sending my Kimmel Mad Libs bit where the whole punchline is, I'm a registered sex offender. And then their mom replied, like, is he really a registered sex offender? He's so funny, though. Is he really a registered sex offender? It's like, people are like very confused.
Well, you're playing with the idea of what can a registered sex offender be? Can he be funny too?
Sure.
Yeah.
And the answer you posit is yes. Okay. Okay. Here's my question for you before we move on. We have a software update. We just discussed this. You're moving to LA tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow morning.
Yes. How could you do that when your close personal friend, Mayor Eric Adams, is going through so much of what he's going through right now? How can you abandon him in this way?
They're kicking him out. I'm heading out of this.
You don't want to live in a New York that's not ruled by Eric Adams.
If Cuomo wins, I'll consider coming back.
If Cuomo wins, comedy's alive again.
Yeah.
And also, that talk about someone who didn't get canceled for being a sex offender.
Yeah. I know. And who said... whose reasoning was, I'm Italian.
Yeah, I'm not a pervert.
I'm
just
Italian.
And I'm Mexican.
And you're Mexican.
And there,
you can just say
go.
What you are.
Yeah.
You can just say, I'm not a pervert. I'm, and then just your race, and allow people to receive that.
Yeah.
Ethnicity, correct.
I'm not a pervert. I'm Irish.
Yeah.
And you just allow people to receive that in whatever way they receive it.
So you're upset that Eric Adams has to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he had, 43 donors? And I think all of them were
Martin Urbano.
I got my bots to donate to Eric Adams. They already did enough articles against Blake Lively. So I'm like, okay, let's take some of that. Yeah.
Well, do you think that America / people now are too dumb to understand satire and like see, undistinguish what's real, what's not? The critical thinking skills have waned.
I do agree with that. It is kind of crazy. I think the no barrier to entry to like comment something
Yeah.
like is makes it so I don't know, people would rather throw something out there and then get attention than think about something for a second longer.
Mm, yeah. And then Martin's out here doing fake pervert stuff. So
and it was confusing in person for people too. Yeah. Mm-hmm, depending on where I went.
Yeah. Well, you did it at Edinburgh Fringe.
I did in Edinburgh.
Right?
They mostly got it there.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they loved it there.
It went pretty well because it's like a huge arts festival. Yeah. So people are like wanting to read into things. But I also performed at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in the Mall of America.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's where in?
Minnesota.
That's in Minnesota.
I was going to say Minneapolis.
I believe, yes.
Yes. Okay. And how did that go?
Bad. It was not. I didn't sell great.
Okay.
And I closed my show by kind of having like an audience members on stage and I'm in the crowd and they're like reading my jokes and then I'm heckling them and then they tell everybody to boo me and I walk out of the room. And so I walk out as they're saying, I've been Martin Urbano, thank you, good night. And then that's the end of the show. So I get a moment outside of the showroom alone with the bartender. And he's like, at the end of the week, he's like, man, you know, this is the most walkouts I've ever seen in my entire time working here. I'm like, ah, cool. Low ticket sales too.
Wow.
So like, wow. The percentage must have been
low
off the charts.
And
people don't know what they're getting into. They probably thought you were just like a cool guy that was going to hate on women for an hour. And then when you satirized that, they're like, we don't like this.
The Mall of America, that's a tough venue. No, I will say, you went into the belly of the beast on that one.
I knew what I was getting myself into, and still, it was.
What were you wearing, though? Let's continue to victim blame.
Should we move to our software
update?
Let's do
our software update.
All right, let's do this. This is a segment where we talk about an update on something else that we've discussed on the show. Millie has an update on the morning routine, the viral morning routine that we talked about last week.
Yeah, so last week, you know, we talked about former football player and current life coach Ashton Hall, who at the time amassed over 684 million views for his morning routine that starts at 3:52 in the morning, from 3:52 to 9 a.m. Now, Ashton Hall has 10.3 million followers on Instagram and has recently dropped his nighttime routine. So his nighttime routine starts at the very late time of 5:02 p.m.
Oh, my God.
And the caption reads, night routine, how I managed to wake up at 3:50. Bad decisions are made late at night. Go to sleep. Moon emoji.
Okay.
So let's watch the nighttime routine.
We're at 5:02 p.m. and he's getting in an ice bath immediately.
Harvesting
the ice bath. Wait. Oh, okay.
Ice himself.
Bath lasts around 20 minutes.
At 5:24 p.m., he puts slippers on. That's very important. At 5:24 p.m. on the dot.
Okay, now we're doing a candlelit
bath.
Bomb?
Thank you.
Dinner.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. Eating a steak in the bath, I'm struggling.
Steak and shrimp.
I'm struggling with eating in the bath.
Mother, what do you mean, how do I wake up at 3:50 a.m.? Listen, I go to sleep early because temptation lives late at night. I need you to lock in. Tomorrow, we got to do at least 10,000.
Okay, he's making a little joke there. Now he's eating a banana.
Wiping the banana peels on his face. Has Sensodyne. People don't know that Sensodyne is because he has veneers. He's rinsing out his mouth with Saratoga and then flossing with Saratoga water.
Wow.
Oh, putting a little nose thing. Oh, putting the mouth tape on.
Now this is the crazy part. He puts cologne on to sleep.
That's awesome.
Oh, and that's his Aura ring for his sleeping, I guess.
I do want to get an Aura ring. Okay, bonnet on, ready to go.
6:59 p.m., 7 p.m.
He reads the Holy Bible.
Okay.
But it's like a weird version of the Bible.
It's a thin version of the Bible.
And then he puts 8 alarms. And then he's asleep at 7:34 p.m.
And then he sleeps with a camera on him.
And he is sleeping upright. Sitting upright, mouth tape on, asleep. Okay.
So starting at 5:02, Hall sits in an iced salt bath that lasts 20 minutes, followed by a candlelit bath where he also eats his dinner of steak and shrimp. By 6:10, it's time for a phone call on the balcony. During the call, which lasts only 1 minute, Paul explains to his friend he goes to bed early because temptation lives at night. Mm. He then tells his friend to lock in because tomorrow they gotta, quote, do at least 10,000, which means
call back to the original video where he's taking a business call and he says, we got to hit 10,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least 10,000. 10,000 what?
We don't know.
But he's in on the joke, I feel like, on that.
Yes.
And then it's important for people to know that he eats a banana, but he breaks it into pieces because putting a whole banana in your mouth apparently is gay.
Yeah.
It's gay to be eating a banana in a normal way. So you have to break it into pieces because that is more heterosexual. And of course, he rubs the banana peel on his face. He uses Saratoga water to floss his teeth and then sprays cologne on himself and is in bed by 7:34.
I have so many questions.
Yeah.
I'm aware-ish of this video. Like
this is a spinoff.
Yeah. Who is this guy?
So he's a life coach of some kind. It seems like he does like light masculinity content, like not manosphere masculinity content, but like it exists in the world of like telling guys you got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
No, 3:50.
Yeah, 3:50. You got to be on your grind.
So he used to be a college football player and then has shifted to life coach content. So he posted it on his Instagram and it was like a sincere thing of like, send this to your partners. This is how you're supposed to wake up early. Like start your day even earlier because then you can like get your routine done without any distractions. No one's going to be calling you, whatever. And then a month later, it was posted on a Twitter page called Tips for Men. And it's like, was sincerely like, this is what this guy does every morning. And then it went viral and everyone was roasting him.
Wow. Yeah. So this video, he definitely like is in on the joke. He's still, I think, definitely would tell people that they should wake up at 3:45 in the morning and go to bed at 7 p.m., which is insane. Yeah. And like not actually a way to live a fun life at all. But he does make reference to the original one in a joking way by like eating the banana, by doing the at least 10,000 line. I'm like, okay, there's a sense of humor a little bit here in version number two.
And it's important to note that he puts the mouth tape on because the mouth tape is something that like both men and women have been advocating for like on TikTok because it helps with breathing through your nose and it like supposedly is like a counter to sleep apnea. Yeah. And so is like the breathe right. It's like to encourage sleep with your like breathing through your nose while you sleep.
I'm trying to get my girlfriend to wear mouth tape during the day.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and that's a classic Martin line. Okay.
Well,
okay.
What I was going to say was that somebody was like, yo, he puts the mouth tape on at 6:48. Like, and then it's like, yeah, that's the only way his girlfriend can deal with him. Is that if he tapes his mouth and shuts the fuck up at 6:50.
To receive his Bible verses that he's reading.
Yeah, because also they never reveal the face of the woman that does all the cooking and the cleaning and all that stuff.
Yeah, you'll see her hands in the original video, but like you never see.
She's a faceless woman.
This looked like a team of people though, no? Like,
no.
It was just one person?
I mean, maybe there's a team that helped him make it for sure. But the idea is supposed to be that it's just him alone. You know,
I thought somebody handed the steak and
that's
and
his girlfriend.
That's his girlfriend.
The faceless. Faceless girlfriend. That is the thing that I have the most problem with is I don't agree with eating kind of like a full meal. In the bath. Everything else, I'm like, I guess if you want to dunk yourself in ice every day, I guess you can do that. I identified with the banana peel on the face.
Yeah.
Pinterest told me to do that. I probably would do that. if you want to go to bed at 7, I guess you can.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I cannot approve of eating a steak in a warm bath.
Yeah.
I struggle with that.
That's where I really struggle. The Bible was weird because I don't know what version of the Bible. It was like a paperback.
Abridged version of the Bible.
Spark notes of the Bible.
Yeah, I bet it's one of those ones that has commentary in to tell you like how to interpret all the stuff.
Supplementary Bible.
Yeah.
It's like an addendum Bible.
I don't know. I guess my final thought on all of this is it ties into like the Brian Johnson of it all. Are you familiar with this guy who's like trying to live forever?
Yes.
Like,
I started watching this documentary.
Okay.
We got to watch the documentary.
The tech bro who's trying to live forever. It's like doing so much stuff to create this quote unquote perfect life that you don't live a life of any kind. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're comedians or whatever, but I'm like, a lot of shows start at 8 p.m. Like sometimes I go out and get drinks with my friends at 8 p.m. I'm not going to be in bed at 7 so that I can wake up at 3:45 to do what?
Well, temptation lives at night.
Temptation does live at night.
So it's like, I guess like maybe in his mind, like, all the cheating, drinking, everything that's bad happens after 7 p.m. So if you're asleep through it, it's not going to happen.
If he was awake at 7:01 p.m., he would ruin his life.
Yeah. Absolutely. But like sometimes
he would commit horrible things.
I mean,
he's kind of like a werewolf.
This reminds me of I have this neighbor who's like really into like EDM and partying and stuff. And I wake up early. Or not even that early, like 9, 10 a.m. And I go walk my dog. And as I'm walking my dog, she's going in the elevator with her group of friends. And they're going to the roof. And then I'm like, oh, are you guys starting? Like, are you guys going to go to a brunch or something? She's like, oh, no, we're ending the night now. Like, we're having like our post. They have White Claw. Like, they've been partying all night. And then on the, and I'm like, damn.
That's like, the nighttime routine I want to see.
That's the nighttime routine.
Yeah.
How do you survive that?
Yeah.
But also, like, 7 p.m., sometimes it's still light out.
It totally
during the summer. Like, this man is going out sun high in the sky. He is locking himself down for bed because temptation lives at night.
He also dressed, I'm going to say it's giving Hawk Shoe, you know, like Hawk Shoe.
I know what you mean.
Shoo,
I was like, who's Hawk Shoe?
The nighttime, like a old guy with a sleepy time.
Yeah,
like,
you're doing like the sleeping sound.
Yeah, like, shoo. But like yeah, with the nightgown and the big hat.
Hawk to a girl's father.
Yeah,
Hawk Shoe.
Hawk Shoe.
Hawk Shoe a girl's back. That's a whole other
thing. Oh, yeah. Put a pin in Hawk Shoe a girl being back. Okay. It is time for our discourse.
All right.
This week's discourse, it overlaps with another segment we do called Polita TikTok. So obviously we have to talk about the fact that the highest defense officials in our government were talking about war plans on a group chat.
Not war plans.
Well, we'll get into the semantics. They will say it's not war plans. They're going hard on the fact that it's not war plans.
Oh, what even are plans, really?
That's like actually
concepts
what's
of a plan, yeah.
That's like when I say that is actually how they're responding, where they're like, it's not plans. It's just the details of the times and places and maps of the attack. It's not plans per se. There's no calendar invite.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. So it's funny because I literally read about this for the first time as I was in an Uber to come to record last week's episode, and I made reference to it briefly, but now we must talk about it more in depth. So before we get into it, I did want to ask you both, have you guys ever been part of a group text, group chat, and or texting mishap, either sending or receiving a text that was not meant for you? I've experienced both.
Oh,
I've definitely sent this guy that I had a crush on, got a girlfriend and told me, like, that's why we haven't been hanging out. And I immediately texted my friend and be like, he has a girlfriend, wrap it up or something like that. I sent it to him. So that was a thing. And then another one, this was really bad. Me and my friends were planning a group trip, and we, in the group chat, we were talking about how we didn't want to invite one of our friends because we don't like her boyfriend and we really like hate him and he's boring and lame, and we sent it to her and she was like, so everyone's talking about me, and that was
and you had to be like,
rough to get out of.
Is that friend still a friend?
They are no longer together. She married someone else, thank God.
So,
I wonder if that accidental text like was like, oh, wow, if everybody.
Well, she was like, you know, I think after that, she's like, I really want someone that all my friends like.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's important.
It is important because you're not going to get invited to trips. Was it that like you had a separate group chat that was just for the trip and one that included her and it accidentally got sent in the one for her?
Exactly.
Sure,
dangerous. Dangerous where there's one group chat where one person is not included. As we'll see.
Yeah.
Really dangerous.
It was Google Hangouts. So it's even like more
tough.
I don't
know
Google Hangouts.
Yeah. It was like kind of like AIM for people with day jobs. And like, it's like I don't even know how to get there. Put a pin in Google Hangouts.
Yeah, we can't even. Martin, have you ever been in a text mishap of this?
Just
nature?
This one time where me and my friends were talking and we added a journalist at the Atlantic.
Right.
This whole thing.
I think it happened. It just got sucked into your phone.
Yeah. And Elise, what happened with yours?
Okay. I've had both experiences. So one time when I first moved to New York and I lived in one of these apartments where, you know, like people are moving into and out of different rooms all the time, we had a Facebook Messenger chat that was for all of the roommates. And we had just had this new girl move in. It was this French girl. And I guess we had exchanged a couple messages where we were like, yeah, she's a little weird, but she seems all right. She's kind of messy. Like, we had said some, like, lightly critical things of her. Not the worst, but we, like, definitely called her weird and messy. And then my dumbass adds her to the chat. Thinking that her version of the chat would just start from that day. I did not realize that you then retrospectively get access to the entire rest of the chat.
Which I will say that you were right to think that. That's weird that confused. Function is not.
That happened, but I deleted everything before I added the person. But so she saw it. What'd she say?
She saw it, and then I was in the living room, and she approached me, and again, it was like this French girl, and so she was like, thank you for adding me to the chat, but I see everyone talking bad crap about me. I was like, I froze. I was like, wow. Like, I don't even remember. I truly blacked out. I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, that would be such a tough situation.
Because it was just...
And immediately,
I'm like 21.
You're like probably incredibly anxious.
And so anxious. No, also probably insanely stoned receiving this information. It's my fault that this has happened. Also, I'm like in waves realizing the degree to which I've like very much fucked up. And this girl just moved in. And I'm
from another country.
And I'm like, awesome. Okay. And then one time I was studying in college with my supposed friends. And I received a text message from one of the two girls that I was studying with. And what did she say? She said, wow, Elise's laptop is really fucking dirty. And it was really fucking dirty. But yeah, she was trying to talk shit on me and my laptop. And we're in this tiny study room. And I received the message and I was like, hey, so you actually texted me. I aired it out immediately. This girl goes white as a sheet.
She blacks out.
She blacks out. She goes
Well, look at
waves of realization.
I played it cool. I just kept studying. I acted fine. And then I did go home and Google how to clean your laptop because it was one of those white MacBook Pros back in the day. And it was also like,
yeah, you can't wash it with soap.
Yeah. I'm like 18. It's got to be like freshman year. So it's in that point where you're learning things that really you should know. And it had never occurred to me that I should clean my laptop. So I will say it was a filthy, disgusting laptop. It was jarring, clearly, obviously, for her to see that she felt she needed to, she couldn't even wait to talk about it privately. She had to text while we're in this tiny study room to be like, Elise's laptop is fucking filthy.
I feel like they're both your fault, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would also, that's a funny joke. Like, if you're with a friend and you're like, look at Elise's fucking laptop.
Well, listen.
Really check out Elise's fucking dirty, disgusting laptop.
Listen to the Botanica Santeria witch that's listening. You got yourself an easy $100. All you got to do is tell Elise that everything's her fault.
Yeah. And
we got it good.
And it probably was. Speaking of stuff that is definitely somebody's fault, something where some people really fucked up. So 1 week ago, the news broke that the Trump administration had accidentally added the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic to a War Plans group chat. This was revealed in an article titled, The Trump Administration Accidentally Texted Me Its War Plans, by journalist Jeffrey Goldberg. Wow. If you haven't already heard, the article details how Jeffrey Goldberg, again, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, so not even just like a random journalist, a truly high-level individual in the journalism community, was accidentally added to a Signal group chat entitled Houthi PC Small Group by National Security Advisor Michael Walls. So for anyone who doesn't know, Signal is an encrypted messaging platform. Mm-hmm. It's got a higher level of security than your usual messaging platforms. It's harder for your messages to be leaked or read by third parties. I've bought mushrooms on Signal.
Yeah, a lot of people do like protest organizing. Right. You can buy drugs on
it. Yeah, it's kind of feel like protest organizing, buying drugs, not war plans level of security.
I thought it was like you can't take screenshots.
I think that might be an element of it. It's like just a higher level of security. I think it would be harder for like your messages to be subpoenaed. Like if you're just iMessaging with people, Apple has no allegiances to you. Like Apple will send your messages to whoever fucking asks for them. So just so you know.
Yeah.
But Signal, the idea is that they would not do that.
Yeah.
And there's something about it being sent over SMS instead. Like it's sent over data instead of Wi-Fi. Like there's stuff that people who know more about data security would understand.
This
isn't
a tech news podcast. This is an internet news podcast.
Yeah, this is technically
This is an internet gossip podcast. So we don't know the nuances. We just know you can buy shrooms on it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of reporters contacting me asking if I want to talk about any of my old bosses.
Yeah. Yeah. Like journalists do use Signal to communicate with their sources potentially.
Okay.
So that might be why he was in this guy's Signal
context.
Whatever. But it is not secure enough to be doing the stuff that we're about to talk about that they were doing. This is the type of stuff where you're technically supposed to, like, bring a very specific device to, like, a SCIF, I think they call it, which is, like, a specific security room. And you're only supposed to, like, talk about this shit in that room. This is not stuff that you're even supposed to be, like, exchanging messages
about. On your personal phone,
But certainly not on your personal phone while you're out and about kind of doing other stuff. One person who was in the chat was like actively meeting with Putin during the chat.
Oh, my God.
JD Vance is like in Europe going around. And they're just chatting, chatting.
Yeah, because you don't know who's looking over your shoulder. You don't know who's around. And in those rooms, like you need specific security clearance to even get to within a certain feet to the room, like in proximity. You can't even whatever. So it's not like anyone who can just. A bystander could overhear people talking about war plans either.
So let's go through the timeline of what they were doing.
Cool.
March 11th. That is when Goldberg first gets a connection request on Signal from Walls. Michael Walls is the national security advisor. He's kind of in the biggest amount of trouble with all of this, even though there's blame to be spread around. But he's definitely fuck up numero uno in all of this. So he gets a Signal connection request from Michael Walls, and Goldberg accepts it, saying that he thinks that he wants to have, and this is a quote from the original Atlantic article, a conversation about Ukraine, Iran, or some other important matter. So Goldberg also says that he initially is pretty suspicious of this in general because of, and this is another direct quote, the Trump administration's contentious relationship with journalists and Trump's periodic fixation on me specifically. Because like Trump doesn't like him because he's the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. Yeah. So Trump has like different journalists that he like personally hates and names. Yeah. And this guy is one of them. So he's like, maybe this is a joke or is someone trying to trap me. 2 days later, he then receives an invitation to the Houthi PC small group chat. So
what does PC stand for?
PC, I actually looked this up. I forget exactly what it stands for, but it's a specific type of high level security group.
Okay.
So, and primer on the Houthis, in case people don't remember. So the Houthis are in charge in Yemen. And I mean, we've been involved in Yemen. Put a pin in Yemen Discord.
Put a pin in Yemen.
We've been involved over there for a while, but specifically since October 7th, the Houthi administration in Yemen has been launching attacks on Israel. And in January 2024, the U.S. and the U.K. began a series of airstrikes on the Houthis in retaliation for that. So The first message in this chat from Walls reads, "Team, establishing a principals group for coordination on Houthis, particularly over the next 72 hours. My deputy, Alex Wong, is pulling together a tiger team at deputies slash agency chief of staff level, following up from the meeting in the sit room this morning for action items that we'll be sending out later this evening." So the group has 19 members. I'm going to list them all for you now. We've got Walker Barrett, a professional staff member at the House Armed Services Committee, Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessnett, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, nice.
Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, Dan Katz, the Chief of Staff for the Secretary of the Treasury, Joe Kent, Acting Chief of Staff for the Director of National Intelligence, someone named Jacob, whose identity is unknown. Literally, he's just listed as Jacob.
Oh, my God.
Brian McCormick, Chief of Staff for the National Security Council, White House Deputy Chief of Staff of Policy Stephen Miller, Mike Needham, who's a special advisor and consultant on foreign policy issues, Director of the CIA John Ratcliffe, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, United States Special Envoy to the Middle East Steve Witkoff, National Security Advisor Mike Walls, he's the one who fucked all this up initially, Principal Deputies National Security Advisor Alex Wong, Vice President J.D. Vance, and Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic.
And can you see on this app, like, all the members in the group?
Yeah, so you can, if literally anyone clicked on the group, they would have been able to see the members and potentially notice Jacob, or that one of the numbers didn't belong to anyone. Like, you can actually in Signal click and see who's a member of the group.
And so nobody did. Gotcha.
Nobody looked to make, just to double check who's in it. So the messages start with them kind of suggesting who else should be added to the group. It's wild. So it's just them being like, you got to add my boy, like so-and-so from comms, or like this guy. So it's like, that's the initial text. And initially, Goldberg says he sees the messages come in. He consults with colleagues. He's like, this is probably fake.
Yeah.
Here's another quote from the article. "I had very strong doubts that this text group was real because I could not believe that the national security leadership of the United States would communicate on Signal about imminent war plans. I also could not believe that the national security advisor to the president would be so reckless as to include the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic in such discussions with senior U.S. officials up to and including the vice president." So
you didn't believe it because it sounded fucking crazy.
Because it sounded pretty wild. It seems like from the initial things, he was very much thinking that this was some kind of trap to get him to report inaccurate information. Mm-hmm. Over the next few days, they continue in the chat. They're discussing light war plans. They're also discussing President Trump directly. And like, while nobody criticizes him per se,
oof,
JD Vance at one point is like, I don't think the president realizes that the messaging is in conflict here. Like, they kind of dance around criticizing him.
Yeah, because basically any attack on the Houthis would be supporting Europe.
Yeah.
And J.D. Vance is like, the America shouldn't be supporting anybody except for America.
Yeah. So they're kind of going back and forth about like whether or not they should do it, what it means to do it. They talk shit about Europe in general. They call them pathetic freeloaders.
Yeah.
And like, J.D. Vance is actively in Europe doing this chat, too, because he's like, they've like sent him to Greenland and they keep sending him all over to, you know,
embarrass us.
Yeah. But that brings us to March 15th. When at 11:44 a.m., Pete Hegseth posts a message labeled Team Update. So this is what Jeffrey Goldberg says about it in the article. "I will not quote from this update or from certain other subsequent texts. The information contained in them, if they had been read by an adversary of the United States, could conceivably have been used to harm American military and intelligence personnel, particularly in the broader Middle East Central Command's area of responsibility. What I will say, in order to illustrate the shocking recklessness of this Signal conversation, is that Hegseth's post contained operational details of forthcoming strikes on Yemen, including information about targets, weapons the U.S. would be deploying, and attack sequencing." So he just says, team update, and lays out the entire plan for
the
attack.
But like specific with names and all this stuff.
And times.
And the editor-in-chief is like, I'm not going to repeat it because it will get a lot of people killed. But just know that this motherfucker did this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And that's in the initial Atlantic article. Since then, there's been another article that they've released where they've included more of the chats, though they have one person that's like a redacted CIA member where I'm like, maybe that's Jacob. And is that Jacob? And, then I don't think they put like all of this stuff, but they've since had to prove more because the Trump administration is denying it, which we'll get to. But J.D. Vance replies to the team update and he says, I will say a prayer for victory. And then, according to The Atlantic, two other users responded with prayer hands emojis.
Okay. It's giving abridged Bible. Yes. Reading at the abridged Bible at 6:42 p.m.
Which is just like, it's so funny to compare this to that like super famous picture of Obama and Hillary and all of them watching the SEAL Team 6 attack strike on bin Laden. Instead, this version is just them being like, prayer hands emoji, America, America. Team update. The strike is today.
Jesus Christ.
So at this point, Goldberg is in his car. He like receives all of these messages and basically they have timestamps on them that say like, we will be dropping a bomb on Yemen at this time. So he kind of just sits in his car and he waits to see if the timestamps are legit. I think it was like 1:45. They said they were going to drop the bombs. He's like, okay, if at 1:45 I check the feeds and we're seeing bombs are being dropped, then I know the chat is real. What do you know? 1:55, he's on Twitter. Bombs are being dropped on Yemen. So he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
The chat is real.
Wow.
So that's when he realizes that the chat is real. It is at this point that the chat pops off. Okay, so this is them chatting after the bombs have gone off. Mar at the top, that's Marco Rubio, saying, good job, Pete, and your team. Mike Walls says, the team at Mal did a great job as well. SM. Oh, that's Stephen Miller. Great work. Powerful start. Pete Hegseth. CENTCOM is on point. Great job, all. More strikes ongoing.
I like that he has his profile picture.
Yeah, he's the only. Pete Hegseth is the only one that's updated his photo.
Yeah.
And has his full name, which it's funny that like some of them, like Marco Rubio is Mar.
Yeah. Does he go by Mark? Well, he's not going to go by Little Marco.
No, but it would be cute if he did. That would be so funny if he went by Little Marco in the chat.
Yeah.
Michael Walls has his full name. Stephen Miller is SM. Pete Hegseth is full name. Susie Wiles is full name. J.D. Vance is full name. And then I love that Steve Witkoff just responded, prayer hands, like strong arm, American flag emoji.
Yeah.
Which is like a bot comment.
But also I'm like, yeah, but those emojis together are racist. I get it. Like, you know what I mean? It's giving we did bomb something.
That's
like America, Christianity, strength. And that they're all yellow. It's just giving, you know.
Yeah.
White Christian nationalism.
If I got that string of emojis on a video that I posted, I would be like, oh no, like this is just being received the wrong way. Yeah, like my video is going to people I don't want to hear it. But I was going to ask, what emojis would you guys use to say like, great job bombing Yemen?
Party hat. Emoji.
Party hat is good.
Party.
Mm-hmm. Dancing lady. But I'm like, but the dancing lady, that's too ethnic. We got to go see.
That's a good point. The nails.
The nails.
Oh, yeah. I
period.
Do love, yeah. I do love the nails as a way to be like, well done.
Oh my gosh.
We did it. Nails.
I like to put the nails when it's like, I'm a bad bitch. Or like, sorry, I have to meet with you after my lash appointment. Nail emoji.
So maybe the way I would use it is like, if I was letting people know that it had been successful, I would be like, bombs hit all their targets. Nails. I do think party hat is a good one. I mean, maybe a little bit macabre, but there is an explosion emoji.
Wow. Yeah, two on the nose.
But if I'm
people
celebrating.
People are dying.
They're
killing people.
They are killing people, but I'm saying this is already happening.
Yeah.
We didn't make the chat.
Yeah. But if you're going to do prayer hands and American flags, you might as well.
You might as well add that in there. I know.
It's just crazy that like we know like numbers wise, a lot of people abstained from voting and all this stuff. But like that the majority of people who did vote think that these people are better at running the country.
Yeah.
Like where do we even go from here if you think that Tulsi Gabbard and
Pete Hegseth
and Pete Hegseth's alcoholic ass and like. Stephen Miller with his airbrushed hairline is like doing a better job. I don't know. Like, where do we?
I think people want to see it kind of goes to what we were talking about earlier about like critical thinking. Is like critical thinking is less and people want more of like themselves.
Yeah.
You know, the people are more selfish now. Maybe, I don't know. That's just my theory. And I think they want to see people like themselves running the thing. And they're like, this is how I text message in my group chat. This is how I understand these people and I want them in the office. Whereas before it used to be more like, I want somebody who's like, whatever a president would look like to be in the president. Yeah. Yeah.
A nerd who's not like me, who I necessarily wouldn't want to hang out with, but is going to do well at their job. Yeah. And then now it's like, you're so unrelatable. You're not a real person. And it's like, that's kind of who you need for this fucking, a real person wouldn't want to do any of this shit. And I think about this too, of like, there's a reason why I don't post my shows. Like, I used to post like every month or week, every show that I did for the month, and I would always fuck up some detail. I would put 7 p.m. instead of 9 p.m. I'd always spell a club wrong. Yeah. I'd tag the wrong person. The show would get canceled. And I'm just like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I don't care. Like, because it's hard to do these like little details. Like, it's hard to be detail oriented and do a lot of stuff at the same time. So I have compassion in that way. But then I'm also not doing war plans.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like posting a show graphic. You're not like doing war plans. So,
but it's just as important.
It is. Now more than ever, what we are doing and our art is so important.
Okay. Whitney Cummings. You're going to take that out. She's taking that out.
I'll leave it in.
It's interesting because I feel like so much of this administration is fucking everything up. They're like, why would you do this? This is inefficient. And now they're slowly realizing why there aren't group chats, why they only talk about this in an enclosed room with everyone physically there, because of this shit. Because someone can fuck up, add the wrong Jeff or the wrong white guy. Also, all these guys' names, Marco, Steve, Steven, Pete, like, how the fuck are you not going to confuse like people?
SM,
SM, I know.
TG.
It'd be any SM. Were they trying to add in somebody who had the same name as this
so
guy?
That has been completely unclear. And like, we will watch a very funny video where Michael Walls tries to explain how this came to be and simply does not explain it in any way that's understandable to anyone who's ever used a phone. But to keep on our timeline. So the great successful bombing texts come through. At this point, that is when Goldberg is like, okay, the chat is real. Goldberg leaves the chat. Now, as those of us who have used chats know, when someone leaves a chat, there is a notification that says so-and-so has left the chat. So when he leaves the chat, he's like, okay, Michael Walls is going to contact me now that I've left the chat. Like, this is me alerting the U.S. government to the fact that I was in the chat. Clearly, this is going to cause, like, I'm going to be getting a phone call any minute now. No one notices that he left the chat. They do not. No one says anything to him about leaving the chat. He does not receive a private message about leaving the chat.
Why did he leave the chat? Because he's like, it's unethical for me to stay in this?
I think at this point, he was like, okay, this is actually really crazy. I've gotten what I'm going to get from this in terms of what my story needs to be.
Right. I'd stay in that chat.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people were like talking shit about him. Like, why would you leave the chat? Like, stay and get all the tea. But somebody was like, I think that's technically espionage.
Yeah.
So like,
no, he should do that. Yeah. That's like cool.
And especially these motherfuckers, like, listen, when it comes to people they like, no one, they don't want anyone in jail. But it comes to anyone else, there's no due process. They're sending you to El Salvador without even looking twice. So.
Yeah. And again, Trump also specifically hates this guy. Yeah. And he's been throughout all of this talking to probably the robust legal team at The Atlantic. So my guess is he was advised that once it became clear the chat was real, he should probably leave.
Right.
That would be my guess. The White House does not realize that this has happened until he reaches out to them as a journalist to say, hey, we're going to publish a story about how you included me in this chat, by the way. And that is how the White House like becomes alerted to the fact that any of this took place. First, Pete Hegseth was asked about it, and his response was, nobody was texting war plans. That's all I have to say about that. The White House claims there's no classified information shared. This prompts The Atlantic to publish another article on March 25th showing, they were texting war plans for sure. There was classified information included. But according to Trump, Hegseth's doing a great job. Hegseth has nothing to do with it. Why do you bring Hegseth into it? It's like, well, he's in the...
too.
Because he's chatting CENTCOM is on point. Yeah, he's the only person with a profile image in the chat. And also, I think he's the highest. I don't know how rankings work, but like he is the Secretary of Defense. So even though Michael Walls is the guy who invited him to the chat, I do feel like Pete Hegseth due diligence should be taking a look at who's in the chat, like kind of questioning whether or not the chat should exist. That is kind of on him. The White House is obviously trying to downplay the seriousness of this. The press secretary posted on X, this entire story is another hoax written by a Trump hater who is well known for a sensationalist spin. And they're doing the thing that you alluded to where they're like, it wasn't war plans. Like they're playing with semantics about it and trying to be like, it wasn't war plans.
We were on a break.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's very that.
It's giving we were on a break.
It's giving we were on a break. She also said that they're having Elon Musk look into how.
Oh, God.
That's amazing.
They're having Elon Musk look into how Goldberg got added to the chat. And it's like, he got added to the chat because Michael Walls invited him to the chat. That's actually not the mystery.
Elon gets doxxed for having a fake Twitter every other month. Like, he don't know shit. Like,
it's so comedic. It's just like, we'll get our smart guy on it.
Yeah.
It's
like, oh, something phone happened? We got a tech guy. Yeah, where's our nerd? Yeah. He'll figure out how this guy got added to the chat. And it's like, there actually isn't a mystery of how he got added to the chat. He was added. The chat existed. That's what's bad.
Also, I'm just like, how do they not notice? If your boss starts a group chat for your job and someone leaves, wouldn't your boss be like, who the fuck left? Like,
right.
Like, just even, not even like war plans or not. I'm just like, who left this and why? Like when one of my family members leaves the group chat, we talk about it.
Leaving a group chat starts drama on a massive scale on like every reality show. I'm thinking about Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Like, those bitches are noticing if someone's leaving the group chat. So
they got kids and they're doing all the TikTok dances.
Yeah.
You cannot be holding the U.S. government to the standard of the Sister Wives of
the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
That brings us to my favorite fake explanation of all this. The vibe I'm getting is that they're really trying to protect Pete Hegseth because Democrats are saying that Hegseth should step down. By what mechanism they would make that happen, I have no idea.
Yeah, but they have good reason because he is an alcoholic who did allegedly rape someone and he's unqualified. And
there's a lot of reasons why Pete Hegseth should step down, this being the latest.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're kind of trying to make Michael Walls take the fall for it, which, hey, he is the person who he did. There's an argument to be made for why he should be in the most trouble. But let's watch this clip of him on Fox News. So he's in friendly territory.
Oh my God.
Trying to explain how he ended up adding this Atlantic editor to the chat.
I'm sure everybody out there has had a contact where it was said one person and then a different phone number.
But you've never talked to him before, so how's the number on your phone? I mean, I'm not an expert in any of this, but it's just how's the number on your phone?
Well, if you have somebody else's contact and then it gets sucked in.
Was there someone else supposed to be on the chat that wasn't on the chat that you thought was
so the person that I thought was on there was never on there. It was
who was that person?
Well, I'm not. Look, okay. Laura, I take it. I built the
So many truly incredible things. Number one, for him to say, you know, when you have a contact where it says it's one person and it's a different person, everyone's had that.
Yeah, well, that's what people who cheat on their wives do.
Yeah.
They put Pizza Hut and it's their side bitch.
But then also, she's like, yeah, but you didn't even have his number. So, like, how did this happen?
You said you've never talked to him.
You said you've never talked to him. So how did this happen? And then he says, you know how a number gets sucked into your phone?
Sucked into phone. That's amazing.
I don't even know what he could possibly be referring to.
Got sucked on my phone.
And it's like, you know, is the Trump administration full of evil, cruel people who fundamentally different than any value I have? Yes.
No. Oh.
And that wasn't in character, guys. But also, like, they are so incompetent. I feel like it's even worse with Trump 2.0. Trump 1.0 had bad, evil people, but they weren't his yes men. So they were qualified and they were
qualified
evil.
To do the evil.
They were qualified to do the evil they wanted to do. Now we have a group of people because he only hired yes men. He only wants people who are going to fucking bow down to the king. But now they're so incompetent and evil. It's funny. And it's like, it's not it's, even like they're yes. doing it personally. Like, it's four season total landscaping. That's yes. this Trump 2.0.
Yeah. It's yes. comedic.
And also, what's so funny to me about it is that this level of like fuck up and not understanding how phones work and stuff, like to say, like, you know how a number gets sucked into your phone.
It's just like, it's like when a kid lies, you know, and you're just yes. like, we can see right through you, buddy. Like, don't
yeah.
chocolate over. I don't know what happened to the candy. Yeah, I don't even know.
Shaggy, it wasn't me.
Is but it, it's also, yeah, yeah. it also,
I mean,
if it was like one of these Senate hearings where like the oldest person you've ever seen is trying to ask TikTok about like how Wi-Fi works, I would be like, that's embarrassing in its own way. But these are people who are
They're
young
Gen
enough.
X.
Like, yeah, like yeah. These are Gen X people. Like, they should understand a little bit how their phone works, how phone numbers end up on your phone, how that getting sucked into your phone is not something that happens.
I'm going to look up how old Michael Walls is, because he could just have a lot of Botox, you know, because we know the Republican men love yeah. them some Botox.
That is true.
But how old do you think he is?
52.
60.
51.
Whoa.
51. The internet's been around for a long time, babe.
Yeah.
You should know how a phone group chat works. And it's okay yeah. if you don't. But then don't be fucking putting your work. I don't know. I'm just like.
It's truly baffling to anyone who's used their phone to contact people that they would like try to say this, that the group chat would have just an unknown number in it. And yeah. nobody's looking to be like, hey, who's this guy?
Do you think he knows like exactly like the mess up and he's just refusing to say it? Like, he knows, he's like, oh, I see where I went wrong. It's so embarrassing how, you
yeah.
know, like, it's like I did one number off or something. Like,
I do wonder if it's that he has someone whose number he really should have added to his phone, but he hasn't, you know, it's like,
right.
it's like a good, it's someone who's like, he works with a lot where it's like, they should be named in your phone, but they didn't. He hasn't done it, which I've done
yeah.
in the past.
Same.
And then he doesn't want to admit that he didn't add this person's yeah. name. So instead, he
What's
accidentally...
the reporter's name again?
Jeff Goldberg.
Yeah, Jeff. I'm like, White House, like, he probably yeah. put in the wrong Jeff.
But I don't even think he had his name.
So he just entered the number?
He added him via his phone number.
Didn't he get a signal request?
Yes, he got
a connection from Michael?
Yes.
So Signal, it syncs up contacts in your phone and contacts of people on Signal. It's like how TikTok, nice. Like if I have Martin's number, then TikTok knows, oh, you have contacts on here. You want to add everybody that you have their phone number on TikTok automatically from your contacts. So he got the contact request and then he probably added, like, I think it was the wrong Jeff after. He should have just been like, you know what? I fucked up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this, like, blah, blah, blah. But they're not. No. They never do that.
They can't do that.
They can't do
no,
that.
No, they can't.
Because it's not
deny,
manly.
Deny. Always.
Well, that's yeah. kind of what he's doing in the clip. Like, he does at the end. He's like, you know, at the end of the day, I am the one who added him to the chat. But what they're trying to do as far as, like, not taking accountability, there is more they're trying to be like, it actually wasn't that detailed of a war plan that we shared in the yeah. chat. Like, was it a whoopsie?
Right.
Yeah, but it's also fine. All we did was say the exact times and targets and weaponry that was going to be used. It's really not that big of a deal. So I think that they're kind of sending this Michael Walls out to take the tiny amount of limited accountability that they're going to allow to try to move it away from like bigger fish like Hegseth, Marco Rubio,
J.D.
Vance, Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, the House Intelligence Committee did have a hearing last week where Tulsi Gabbard and the CIA director, John Ratliff, had to like answer questions about it. And that was basically the party line. We're looking into why the group chat was created, but also it's fine. My personal read on it is that I think that he had this Atlantic reporter's number saved in his phone, but not with a name. Like, it was just a saved number. And that got pulled into Signal. And he thought it was somebody else's number that he also had saved, but doesn't have a name attached to it.
I
think it was number based.
I never do contacts. I never add my contacts to any
app. This is how you end up in this situation,
because
Martin.
I know, I'm saying I'd be worried for that to happen. You know, like when an app asks, like, do you want to like follow everybody that you kind of like, no, never.
I always save numbers and put it like with my Google account. Mm. When I date someone, I don't like save their number. And sometimes I'm going on like a few dates with these guys. Like, unless we're going to be exclusive, I try not to save their number. So that has caused problems.
That's what I think. The central confusion that happened is that he had this guy's number in his phone from maybe having talked to him at some point in the past in his capacity as a journalist. He had it saved. No name. His number maybe resembles the number of someone else. Or honestly, the level of like dumbassery that's happened is I just feel like he was just clicking random people to add to the thing. And maybe he just randomly added this number by accident.
My theory is the wrong Jeff.
Wrong Jeff. Yeah.
Because he wouldn't say on that clip that we watched, because Laura Ingraham does ask, like, who did you think it was? And he goes, I'm not going to say.
It was Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah,
they're posthumously adding Jeffrey Epstein to all the chats just out of respect.
He's still alive. That's what he can't say.
He's still alive. Yeah,
wow. So true. Wow. Oh, he thought it was Jeffrey Epstein's burning room.
Well,
okay. So that's where this stands for right now. My final question is, do you guys think this will affect anything or?
Just that one guy.
Michael Walls might get in trouble.
That's it.
I think that in this chapter in Trump 2.0, whatever asshole writes a book, this will be a blip in it of like, but I don't think it's going to affect anyone's political career, maybe except for the 51-year-old dumbass. But I do think, like, I don't think it's going to be completely forgotten. Like, this is a big, huge fuck up.
When I will say that it does have its own Wikipedia page already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Signalgate already has its own Wikipedia page. So.
Oh, and then that's catchy too. Signalgate.
Yeah, it does have a good name.
We love to add gate to stuff.
Matt.
We looked up Matt Gaetz's text too. We read it on one of our Patreon episodes.
Careful, that he's a buddy of mine.
Of course, we're
friends on Venmo.
Oh, okay. Good.
He went to that Mall of America show and sat through the whole thing. He loved it.
Yeah, he didn't know that you were joking.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sucked. Let's wrap the episode by our segment, Grasshole of the Week, which is where we pick one person who needs to log off the most. Before I go to the grass hole, I do have to nominate two people for Grass Hero. Mm. These are two people who are using the internet perfectly. They should keep doing it.
Keep posting.
They should stay online. We need more of this energy. And the first is...
Talk to a girl.
That's yours. Hug to a girl. Perfect. No. On Twitter, there was a family picture posted of two gay black dads with their toddler daughter. It was like a JCPenney, like, family photo shoot. And of course, Twitter's hell. So somebody found those guys' photos, put them on Twitter, and then everyone started fucking roasting them for being gay dads. It's terrible.
Oh, wow.
But our grass hero, her Avi is Pink Pilates Princess, which is a Spotify category that Millie's in, which is like Sabrina Carpenter and Azalea Banks. Her handle is at Kunta Kunti.
Killing it on all levels with the handles, all of it. Really good.
She's really good. So she tweeted this. A lot of y'all have zero fathers, so I understand why seeing someone have two of them may trigger y'all.
That's really good.
That got 921,000 likes and 83.9 million views. What happened next was that she proceeded to attack any and every naysayer and ratio them. Ratioing is when somebody tweets something and then you reply comment dunking on them and your reply gets more likes
and engagement
than yours. So what happened is she went and ratioed everybody, like every naysayer. I'm talking like at least 100 comments. So I'll just read two of my favorite ones. At K6KClip says, "You going against God, bitch. You going straight to hell." Fire emoji. And Pink Pilates Princess, a.k.a. Kunta Kunti, says, "So does that mean you're going to hell for being ugly? I thought God didn't like that either."
Oh.
And that got 175,000 likes. The next says, which one of them gave birth, though? And then Kunta Kinte replied, you came out of your mother's womb as first, and you still grew up to be a bitch-ass loser, so does it really matter? And that got 321,000 likes. So I'm telling you, the whole thread was this. People were then taking her thing, and it was like that one clip of Kill Bill where Uma Thurman was like, fought like 30 people at once, like this was like, that's her energy, and like she's like, so she was being a real grass hero. So that's grass hero one. And grass hero two is Brooke Hogan, daughter of Hulk and Linda Hogan.
Okay.
She is a grass hero for publicly releasing a statement on why she cut off contact with both of her parents, Hulk and Linda Hogan. I mean, I don't think you need an explanation on why you don't want to be associated with a 71-year-old guy who rips his t-shirt off on stage at Trump rallies, and how maybe that guy wouldn't be the best dad or grandfather. Mm-hmm. But she explained it in a several-page Instagram post, like an Instagram carousel post about why her dad and her mom suck, how they both suck independently. She's really brave for coming out there and saying, I hate my parents. And then they responded in ways that you're like, yeah, I can see why she doesn't talk to you. So she's a grass hero too. Grass hero.
Shout out Brooke Hogan. I watched that show, Hogan Knows Best.
Yeah.
When they had a reality show for like 2 seconds. And then I think it ended because he was caught on camera saying the N-word a bunch.
And what she said was like, I could have gotten farther in my career and I could have done more shit. But like every time I do something, somebody asks me about something you said or something my dad said or my mom's done or whatever that I don't fucking talk to them and I don't want to be associated. But now it's like happening to my kids. And like every time I post stuff about my family and I'm just done. It's sad, but this is not grasshole. You know, grasshole is someone who we usually tell someone sometimes like in a mean way, like get the fuck offline. And sometimes in a loving way, like lovingly way with compassion. Sure. Please log off.
Yeah.
Because it's your...
Martin gets messages like this all the time.
Yeah. Please log off for your own good.
Please stop.
Please stop.
We care about you so much. Please stop.
And guys, today's grasshole is pop star Justin Bieber.
What's Justin up to?
Well. Shit has been hot in the Bieber camp because on March 6, 2025, Hailey Bieber, Justin's wife, daughter of Stephen
Baldwin,
she liked a shady TikTok about Selena Gomez. So
and you know people are paying attention to that.
People are paying attention
to that. People have their eye on that.
So this girl was talking shit about Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco and how ugly Benny Blanco is. Hailey liked it. And then what happened was a video resurfaced where it was a 7-part video, but it was something that was released like 2 years ago and then it got re-sparked. I'm just going to read from this BuzzFeed article. There's been a recent increase in interest in a video which goes through Hailey Bieber's history with Justin and calls her a psycho stalker. And the YouTube version of that video has 4.2 million views. And it's a 7-part TikTok series where basically it has proof of like Hailey was stalking Justin Bieber since she was 12. She was in like all of this extreme fan group chats and she was like a crazy believer and also was obsessed, got like similar haircuts, tattoos as Selena Gomez. If Selena Gomez would post herself with an outfit, there's, you know, it would show that like 2 days later, Hailey would post with the same outfit. So, and everyone was like, oh my God, Hailey's a fucking stalker. BuzzFeed said that the video is rife with inaccuracies and exaggerations. Like, there's a timeline with Hailey meeting Justin at the Today Show, and it suggests that she was in multiple events rather than just one, and then that didn't check out when you look at the timeline. So it was, like, a little bit inaccurate and whatever, but, like, that's the narrative, right? So Hailey likes this thing. People are like, Hailey's a stalker. So now Justin and Hailey have alluded to the increased scrutiny with both of them liking an Instagram post that said, quote, jobless people are tearing Hailey Bieber apart. So Justin and Hailey both like this.
They have to get a grip on their likes, these two. Like I feel like they need to.
They're very messy with the likes.
Yeah, to the point where I'm feeling as though, okay, you want us to see these likes. Because this keeps happening to you. You keep liking things that are negative about Selena or this or that. And people always notice. So they have to know.
Well, this is all context for what has been, according to my research, a 2-week crash out that Justin Bieber has been kind of posting through what may look like to many some kind of mental health episode. I don't know. Oh. So it starts off very normalish. I'm starting from March 16th. Mm. He starts off very normalish. It's kind of giving like 2016 Instagram where you use your grid as stories. Mm. Like he's posting everything, you know? So he started first with a carousel of photos of him doing mini golf, and his pants are so baggy. It's like completely off his ass. Like, so it's a picture of him doing mini golf, then a picture of the blood moon, and then another one of him doing mini golf. Okay.
Okay. Definitely if my friend posted that, I would be like, hey,
what's up? So that's one. A second carousel of him and Haley and their friends at Disney. The tea is that it was like literally a day, if not the same day, or maybe 2 days after Benny and Selena went to Disney. And Selena was wearing specific Minnie Mouse ears, and Haley wore a similar outfit and Minnie Mouse ears. So that
yeah,
was
yeah, but wearing Minnie Mouse ears at Disney.
Yeah, but like, you know, you're down in adult Disney adult talk. You know that people customize the Disney Minnie Mouse ears. So right. I'm like, to have the exact same Minnie Mouse ear as Selena.
I need to see a picture.
Yeah, I would need to see a picture because okay. I would need to know, like, because I feel like two girls who are, you know, rich influencer girls, they might end up with the same Minnie Mouse ears because those are the most expensive cutie pie.
No, they're
Minnie
like the
Mouse.
Most sure. basic ears. It's like the okay. Minnie well, Mouse then, with the well, polka then. Dot bow.
Okay, but oh. then anyone would be wearing
okay, but then this is on the back thing of, like, there's this doc that shows that Haley's obsessed with Selena. So if you were yeah, trying that's... to fight those allegations, why would you wear the same exact ears?
But,
whatever.
But if you don't know.
We
but
don't
they're
know.
Minnie's ears. They're not. They're minis, the mirrors yeah. don't. I, okay. I don't subscribe to that because okay. I think they're Minnie's ears.
Okay. So anyway, that's the second carousel,
that.
Right?
Okay.
Then we have a third carousel of him at the recording studio. Then he posts this photo of him at Disney with his family.
Oh.
I just screenshotted that. What do we think about this photo?
Incredibly pixelated, and bizarre cropping.
The caption says, top bish.
Okay, so the focus is supposed to be Haley, but she's so pixelated, it's kind of hard to say. And I will say, looking at these ears, those are standard Minnie Mouse ears. I can't knock her for it.
Okay.
Those are the ears that any basic bitch is going to be wearing when she's at Disney.
Okay.
Who are all these people?
I think they're like, because that guy, Justin's in the back.
That's just...
That might be his dad, his brother, his friend, and that's a Disney employee.
Okay. You can't tell who anyone is because it's so washed pixelated. Out and pixelated. It's a very strange image to post.
It's a strange image.
This is
thank
upsetting
you
to look at.
It's upsetting to look at. And people comment, like said, the quality of the first photo is sending me. Okay,
bro, so posting a lot and real believers know this means there's an album on the way.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe. Well,
he's
okay,
really doing it up.
So then he posts another carousel. So it's like either
oh,
a picture
no.
a picture of a bird and then his friends. And a picture of a bird and then his friends.
Okay, yeah, no. The sheer number of carousels is alarming me. It's a
we're
lot
not even
of carousels.
Halfway through. Then he posts a video with him. Like, it looks like him and his friends are, like, experimenting with music. Someone's on the drum thing. He has this caption. I think I hate myself sometimes when I feel myself oh. start to become inauthentic. Then I remember we're all being made to think we're not enough. But I still hate when I change myself to please people.
Oh,
so that is the caption on the video of him making music. Next day, there's a 2-photo carousel, one of him, one of a bird. then,
oh, no.
Then there's oh, one of Haley. Then there's a carousel of Haley at a restaurant. Then the same day, he posts a carousel of birds giving photo credit to his friend Rory, who is like a wildlife photographer. Then he posts another carousel, which is a close-up selfie of him with his nose ring. I guess he put his nose ring back in, and another bird. Then there's
okay, he's really there's something going on between him
and
birds right now. I don't know if it's that he feels caged and wants to be free. I think it is a cry for help when someone is relating so heavily to birds.
Mm-hmm.
It usually means that like they
sure.
they're feeling restrained in some way.
Justin. Then there's another carousel of random pics, including 2 very close up ones that are unsettling. Like it's so close to his face that it's actually unsettling. Then he posts an overhead photo of a hockey player on an ice ring with the rink. And the hockey player, I then researched, hello, research pod, that it's hockey player Austin Taylor Matthews, who is the hockey center and captain for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay.
Justin posts an overhead shot of this guy with the caption swag. Then he posts another selfie of him looking zooted in a restaurant. Then he included, then there's another carousel of photos of his son, but they blacked, he covers his son's face.
I forgot they had a kid.
They had a kid. And this is the caption. It says, "It's because I'm a maniac," like frozen emoji and then shrug emoji, but the shrug is a woman. And then it says, it's because I'm a maniac that we dedicated Jack Blues Bieber to Jesus.
Is Jack Blues the name of the baby?
Yeah.
Ooh. And the baby is dedicated to Jesus?
What's the baby's name?
Jack Blues Bieber.
I guess in a way, a baptism is dedicating your baby to Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it is.
Then there's a 3-photo carousel of Hailey Bieber. The first photo in the carousel is her wearing the lowest pants I've seen and her flicking off the camera.
Okay.
Then he posts a photo of Hailey driving, and the song that he attaches to this picture of Hailey is Beyonce's Irreplaceable.
Okay.
And that song is about how somebody should never think that they're irreplaceable, because the song, the chorus goes, "You must not know about me. I can get another you in a minute." So everyone's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think that Justin didn't think I think that Justin thinks that that song is about someone who is irreplaceable.
We'll see. We'll see. Then he posted this video, and we are going to watch this video. And I want you guys to know that the song on this video was Simple Plan's Perfect. About, I'm sorry, I can't be perfect.
Now, what's,
what's happening? What are we seeing?
These birds are having sex.
Yeah, it's two birds. I mean, they're jumping on each other. I don't actually know what it looks like when two birds have sex, but it's two birds. It started, the orientation of the camera was wrong, but now it's gotten back up. One of the birds had hopped on the other bird. Now it's just two birds that are kind of hanging out. Being birds, just doing bird stuff.
It's a long video also. Yeah. So he's really watching these birds.
And then it's also more pictures of the birds in this carousel.
So the carousel is just pictures of the birds? Okay, that's a beautiful picture.
That's a really good bird pic.
Yeah, but it's his friend Rory Kramer.
Oh.
So that's the thing. It's not even him posting.
Taking these bird pics.
Did he take
the video of the birds?
Caption says camera and then at Rory Kramer.
So he didn't take any of these pictures or videos of the birds.
I like that comment there. Hearts for this song.
Yeah. So then he posted another bird photo, this time of an owl.
Okay.
Then he posted
Very symbolic.
Yeah.
Very symbolic bird.
One recording studio carousel with two selfies in it. So that's his grid.
Which is not crazy. That's a lot to grid.
Yeah, that's a lot to grid.
How are the likes on those posts?
I saw one had 2 million.
All the likes have 2 million. And our friends, and I'm like, oh my God, guys, stop. Then we have this video. Let's just watch the video.
Comment says, did you see Justin Bieber's post calling Hailey a Jezebel? I did see that and the other 57 posts he's made in the last 36 hours. Justin posted a picture of Hailey Bieber on his story and then posted the song Jezebel by the singer Sade. Given what Jezebel means and Justin being religious, I don't know why he would post this, because the word Jezebel means a shameless, immoral, controlling woman, often associated with promiscuity and manipulation. Also posted this on his story. I really tried to play nicey-nicey. And then last night was posting all about the new music that he was coming out with, and it sounds like absolute shit. I posted a clip earlier today, and it sounds like in the lyrics he is saying the name Benny. And it's very clear that he is no longer receiving any assistance in songwriting or producing from Benny the Hitmaker himself. So maybe he's just upset that his music now sounds like shit. I don't know. But Justin, give it up, babe. We fully see the crash out. We see it. You can chill out.
I really tried to play nicey nicey.
I really tried to play nicey nicey. Next special. Martin Nirvana presents I really nicey, tried to nicey. Play nicey nicey.
And for context, right, Selena announced her engagement with Benny Blanco. Justin posted a very cryptic Instagram post. One of the details that came out is that Justin texted Selena Gomez 22 times the day that he was getting married to Hailey Bieber. So that is one of those things. And Selena did reference it in a song. So there's like this whole narrative of like, he's crashing out because Selena and Benny are happy, whatever. So everything that I told you, all those posts were on Grid. In his stories, it's even getting more manic.
So she said he posted 57
seven times in 36 hours.
And that was just story.
And that was stories. And that was in the past, like, 2 days.
And that's in addition to all the Grid posts about birds and stuff.
Finally, yeah. So then what happened is Justin deactivated his Instagram, but then reactivated it 17 minutes later.
Not 17 minutes. That's actually worse than the number one person who's guilty of doing this, which is Selena Gomez.
And then I was like, maybe they are meant for each other.
I know. I'm like, Selena's always saying I'm taking an Instagram break, and then she comes back within a day. But 17 minutes, that's different.
So we just watched At Michelle Talk. She has all the details, all the screenshots. She's been like following and reporting on Justin's crash out. She posted that, which we just watched. Then she posted Justin deactivated his Instagram. Then she's like, he reactivated 17 minutes later. And then Hailey Bieber unfollowed him. Hailey Bieber commented on Michelle's thing. She said, I didn't unfollow him. It was just a glitch. Hope this helps. Okay. So people are like, So Hailey Bieber's watching this girl report on the crash out.
Oh, Hailey Bieber is watching everything. I think for sure.
What does she do? What does Hailey Bieber do?
Model.
No, okay.
She's a model.
She has her lip gloss company. Okay. That's also a whole thing of like copying Selena Gomez. Selena Gomez came out with Rare Beauty. She came out like a lot of the photo shoots are ripping off Selena. It's like, but yeah, she's kind of model, not really.
And yeah, that's like
she's Malzia's wife.
When she was Hailey Baldwin. She was a model in kind of like the Kendall Jenner, like Nepo model. Sure. World.
Yeah, she wasn't really doing runway stuff, was she?
I don't know. Yeah, I think that I'm not an expert on early Hailey Bieber. She was ostensibly a model. And I think that she did run in that crowd of like the Kendall Jenner.
She was friends with Kendall. That's
maybe a Hadid or two is in there.
Sure. A big thing in the documentary is that Kendall and Kylie were really good friends with Selena. Selena went out of town and they brought Kendall and Kylie brought Hailey? Justin to Hailey and so did them. And that's why Selena doesn't fuck with the Kardashian Jenners anymore. But
when they originally had that big falling out that was online, it was all about potentially Kylie and Hailey and all of them were making fun of Selena. And that was when Hailey Bieber was like, I think first went viral in a very negative way.
Yeah.
And probably this series calling her a stalker probably came out around there, I would guess.
Yeah, she's been having like stalker allegations for a while that she like doesn't have her own personality, whatever. But in terms of Justin, people are really saying that it's giving Britney Spears his Instagram.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there's no world where this is just promo for his new album. Like this feels like too much for it to be like this, like weird, like I want to build some hype by posting and acting like I'm going crazy to promote my new album.
So I feel like if he was like, I feel like this in combination to like how he's been looking recently, he's been photographed looking very tired, very thin, like a little disoriented. His clothes are like very baggy. He's wearing a lot. He's not really like dressing up in a, you know what I mean? He's not really like wearing fashion. It's like super, super, super baggy pants that are always sliding off him. He looks
not great.
He looks not great. So I think in combination with that, if he was like looking healthy and spry and whatever and just posting this shit, I would think it's trolling.
Right.
Yeah, there's something that feels a little bit too messy and disjointed about it to be related to a strategic new music rollout to me.
The 57 stories is pretty
specific. 57 stories
in 36 hours. So, yeah, that's not great. So people are saying Kanye 2.0 too. It's Kanye's social activity around the time that he was divorcing Kim, which is another rumor, is that him and Haley are getting divorced.
Yeah, I feel bad for Justin Bieber. This is a love and go touch grass for me because I am like, I feel like there's so much darkness in what that young man has experienced, like the Usher protege who was like essentially given to Diddy and all of this stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, we never let him go to school. We just made him dance for us and stuff. Yeah. And now people are like, he's dumb. And I'm like, well, yeah, we never let him go to school. We just made him do all those dances. And so I do have like a soft spot in my heart for him. He does need to log off.
I forgot about the Diddy connection. Like, is that when a lot of this stuff maybe started happening? Like,
well, I feel like kind of the trajectory that I understand the Bieber story to be is that he got signed when he was young. He was Usher protege. He worked with Diddy, and we all know Diddy.
What did he do? What's up with Diddy?
Exactly.
Do you have another 2 hours?
You could listen to our 2 hour long Patreon episode where we do the crime line.
The Diddy crime.
The timeline of all of Diddy's crimes.
Nice.
So I think he had like very exploitative, like Justin Bieber had very exploitative parents who like really pushed and like kind of made him work harder than maybe somebody who's a little bit more involved would let their kid do.
True.
So he was very like exposed, and then he was doing stuff. He had like a bad boy era where he was like crashing cars, saying the N-word, whatever. Then he,
classic bad boy era.
Yeah. Then he was like, he started going to this church, Hillsong, got super super involved with Hillsong, actually like befriended one of the main pastors. He would like stay at that pastor's house, like they were very close. And I think that pastor, like, for better or for worse, encouraged him, like, slow down, take a break. So he like, slowed down, like, stopped performing as much. Again, found God, converted. Then that pastor specifically gets canceled for cheating on his wife and sleeping with other people in the congregation, all this stuff.
Whoa.
Hillsong gets taken down. So it's like, he found God and then, like, kind of had to, like, whatever. So that probably wasn't great either. And
I think there's been a lot of destabilizing elements for Justin.
Yes, it's like any kind of sense of stability or community kind of gets like rattled for him, which I feel that's why I'm like lovingly get off.
Yeah. Like, should we say, you know, Justin Bieber, you haven't committed a crime, but we do think for your own mental health and safety, you must
go touch grass.
Go touch grass.
Yeah. And that's the end of our episode. Yeah. Wow, Martin, we did it.
We talked about
everything that could be talked about and more.
I've learned so much.
Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you online, Mall of America, where are you going next?
Trying to go back there. I don't know. They haven't been responding to my emails. I'm on Instagram, Martin Urbano Jr.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
And you're on AdWorld, which is what you're here to promote.
That's exactly right. Yeah, show.
What is
AdWorld? Web series on Stapleview.
About?
I don't remember.
Okay,
great.
Well, great.
Guys,
love
it.
Check it out.
Ad marketing. It's a marketing agency, and we're all a little bit kooky characters.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Kooky.
We love kooky.
Speaking of kooky, you can find us on Instagram and every other social media at Go Touch Grass Pod, and you can find me at Pandalise on Instagram and Elise Navidad on TikTok.
And you can follow me at Millie_Tamaras. On Instagram and TikTok, and at Millie Tamaras on Twitter. I don't know why I'm on there, but I am.
Ooh. All right.
And until next time,
go touch grass.
Go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. Hey, I'm Wayne Brady.
And I'm Jonathan Mangum.
And we're two big improv nerds who get a chance to play and make stuff up on shows like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Or Let's Make a Deal.
And we're now hosting a new improvised show called What If? On the HeadGum Podcast Network.
And on What If? We believe that improvisation is a conversation. So we get to have conversations with guests from the worlds of TV, film, tech, and literature. Guests like Bobby Moynihan, Aisha Tyler, LeVar Burton, and Adam Conover. We ask them the big, ridiculous questions like, what if you hurt a monkey's feelings?
What if your grandma was a secret agent?
What if Jonathan was invited to the cookout?
I'm not.
And then we turn the conversation into spontaneous scenes, songs, well, because that's what we do.
Subscribe to What If on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and watch episodes on YouTube.
No script, no net, just What If.